Hey, what's up, everybody? Straight out of Marigold Studios. This is the Unpolished Podcast, and we are discovering life one record at a time. I am your host, the sometimes hateable, sometimes huggable, and always unpolished Paul Moreno. It is good to be back with you after last week's episode, and there is so much going on in the world right now, so our prayers just go out to everyone on every side that's being affected by whether it's bombings or killings or just whatever is going on in their area, wherever my voice can be heard and so far beyond. We are praying for you. We're praying that your life be spared so that you can turn to the Lord and just surrender to Him. Honestly, just surrender to Him. But today we are going into, I would say, a lot more upbeat performance in the album One More Time. Of course, I'm talking about Blink 182 back together after a pretty long hiatus. A long hiatus from one of the members, but we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, the new album One More Time, their ninth studio album. And it's been 12 years since their last album, Neighborhoods, which came out, I believe, 2011 is what I'm looking at, 2011. But yeah, I'll be honest with you, Neighborhoods, not my favorite. I feel like it was a little pushed. It was a little, and I get it. I don't think they were at their best. I think there was a lot of tension when you try to create with someone and then there's tension, you're not going to get your best. And I know there was tensions going on, but this one, way different attitude, way different thing with this one. I if I had to give my one little second opinion about the record, I would say if you are a Blink 182 fan, you will like this record. They very much stay true to who they are and who they've been. And it's kind of a mashup. I think they're a lot more unapologetic. They've never been apologetic in their lyrics. They've always been kind of crude. That's the only thing that didn't, make me a Blink 182 fan, I say. I like some of their songs. All in all, I just was never into like really crude humor. And so, it's not even because of my age, even as a young person, I didn't like it. I don't know why. There's some things that are said that just make you feel kind of icky, and it's just like, or cringy. I don't know. That is me. To you, make your own decisions. But, Blink 182, their album, my favorite song all time of theirs is I Miss You. Absolutely. But Blink 182 has been around a long time. They've been around a long time since they started in 1994, which is really hard for me to believe. Their first album came out in 94, which is hard for me to believe because that is the year Kurt Cobain, lead singer, founder of Nirvana, was dead, and really just grunge died with him, and not just with him, but it kind of was like he was the face of grunge and now the face is gone, and you had something emerging anyway. And so out of this mid-90s, you have Green Day, you have MXPX, you have all these like pop punk, Blink 182 and so many more. I can't just mention them all, but just so many more. And so really for the next 10 years, this new thing comes, this pop punk takes over the airwaves per se, and you have so many festivals and things that go on. My favorite, Warped Tour. I used to love going to the Warped Tour. It every year it came around, I was there, and I absolutely loved it. Discovered a lot of music, and had a lot of fun. Those. And the only thing I didn't like is living in South Texas. It is so hot. And of course, those were always in the middle of the summer. The Warped Tour was always in the middle of summer. And we had it here, of course, outdoor event, the whole thing. And so you're walking in basically a blacktop, asphalt parking lot that has all these stages built on it or set up on it. And I'm telling you, by the end, your shoes are melting. They, you know, it's the Vans Warped Tour, but I'm telling you, those Vans shoes were no match for that Texas summer asphalt. But good memories either way. I was in my 20s, so I could handle it. I'll tell you right now, if it was me today going to a Warped Tour at my age, I would be home with my feet soaking by 6 p.m. I tell you, that's the truth. And I'm talking like I've been home a while and I just now got my feet in the water. But, you know, I'm getting older. But so is Blink-182. And I think it shows there's somewhat of a maturity, somewhat of a... They're still in the crudeness of the humor. And so if you like that and they're true to that, I think in that case, true to themselves, there hasn't been a change in that. But definitely a change in like, okay, they are older and now they're looking back at something. And so it's really interesting in their unapologetic in musically and where their influences have come from. And I like that. I do like that. I love it when a band acknowledges who their influences are and were. I think that's a sign of maturity. I think it's a sign of being really confident in who you are and what you've become musically. And I think they've done that. Blink 182, of course, made up of Mark Hoppus on bass, Tom DeLonge on guitar, and Travis Barker on drums. It's funny because Travis Barker's really, how often is it that it's the drummer that has the most name recognition and he's the drummer and not the singer? He's just the drummer. But he's made such a name for himself, just a great drummer. And what I love about him is one, yes, he has the talent, but he also has the refrain. And I think that is so important as a musician when you take on a song and you surrender to the song and not your ego. When you bring to the song what is best for the song, and not necessarily what makes you look good. And I love that about Travis Barker. And Travis Barker's just, he's so multifaceted on the drums. I mean, he can play just about any genre. And I really, really admire about that. But Tom DeLonge returned last year after leaving the band indefinitely back in 2015. And then he was temporarily replaced by the band Alkaline Trio's guitarist Matt Skiba. Of course, Matt Skiba kept playing with Alkaline Trio and doing whatever he needed to do with them, but also just, you know, stepped in and filled in. Of course, bowed out gracefully. I will say that he bowed out gracefully to Tom DeLonge coming back last year or the year 2022, just coming back. And Matt Skiba just said, you know what, hey, this is your band. You do your thing. I do admire that. I have not read anything about any drama going on there. So that's really good. One More Time, there's a song, the album, One More Time, and then there's the title track, One More Time. And if you know my musical taste at all, you know I'm a sucker for the ballads. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think I can do an entire 10-track album just ballads. But if you like rock and hard and fast and all this stuff in your music and you throw in a ballad in there, I'm sorry, I'm hooked. And I mean, as long as it's good. That's why, you know, that's why my favorite song of Blink 182 has got to be I Miss You. And I know there's others, All the Small Things, things like that. But there's something about that one, I Miss You. And so, of course, I mean, it's one of their most popular tracks for a reason. And I'm just the sucker and sap that makes one of those that possible. But One More Time, the song, the title track, is really a ballad sequel, I would say, to I Miss You. And if you'll play it, One More Time does not have, it's not crude in any way. It's not even cursing if you're offended by anything like that. So feel free to pop it in. I think it's kid friendly in the sense that you don't have to cover their ears throughout the song. But One More Time is and if you want to listen to I Miss You as well, I mean, they're very similar in that aspect. And I Miss You maybe a little bit more darker in the sense of like when you're listening to it, but you know, feel free. I mean, whatever you want to do. But One More Time, just really a ballad sequel to I Miss You. Of course, I Miss You came out 20 years ago. So, I mean, this is like maybe a ballad sequel long, long overdue. But there is mention of Mark Hoppus's 2021 cancer diagnosis. He had a bout with lymphoma. And then Travis Barker's 2008 plane crash. He was involved in a plane crash, almost lost his life in that. But it's mentioned, and so I want to bring that up. So when we get to that lyrics, I want to read the lyrics to One More Time, because I think it's so important to hear what is said and just how relevant it is. And now, mind you, these guys are not in their 20s anymore. They've grown up in the sense they're older now. They can look back on things. And I say this, and I've said it many times before, and you'll hear me say this over and again, but life is always lived in the forward, right? You're always looking forward. Time is always moving forward. No matter what, it moves forward, right? Time waits for no man, as they say. But time is always lived forward. But it's really never understood until you look back. And I can say there's so many times where I thought one thing going forward, but then I look back and I understand it completely different. There's times in my life where I thought God had really abandoned me. There's times in my life where I really felt alone. And then I look back and I realize, wait a minute, that wasn't the truth at all. That wasn't the truth at all. There's times where I really believed God was silent, was no longer talking to me. Maybe I had, shown myself maybe disqualified in my actions and, you know, no longer worthy of sonship and things of that nature. And looking forward and going through the hard times that I was going through. And I'm so glad that the Lord had really grabbed hold of my heart. Because there were so many times where I thought it was when I saw forward, when I looked forward, I just saw darkness. I saw it bleak. I saw just a life that I'd ruined, that it was unredeemable, I had done things that you couldn't come back from. And I'm so glad that the Lord gave me the strength to just keep moving forward. And then now looking back on it, I can look back and say with absolute certainty, Lord, you were never quiet and you were always there. And it's so reassuring. And then now looking forward, I have that to look back on. I have that to pull from. I love, if you'll turn to the scripture, you'll look in the book of Samuel and you'll see David as he goes to face Goliath. He's looking forward to Goliath. Goliath is in his way to go forward. He can't go any more forward unless he gets through Goliath. So what does David do? What does he look at for strength? He looks back. He looks back. He says, wait a minute, I can defeat this giant. I've defeated a bear in my time. I defeated a lion in my time. I can beat this giant. Based on God's faithfulness to protect me and to provide a victory in the past, now that I have that understanding, I can now look forward to this giant and say the same thing that happened to them is going to happen to you. But you don't always know that. There had to be a time when David faced the lion and thought, oh no. And there had to be a time where David faced the bear and thought, oh no. But he had to go, keep going forward. And then you'll see, even beyond that, even going after Goliath, it says that David raised up men that did things greater than what David did to Goliath, which is amazing. And what did they have to go on? They looked back at God's faithfulness and said, you know what? God is not just partial to David. God is partial to anyone who will believe what David believed. And what did David believe? He believed what did David believe? David believed that God would take care of him. And so when you have this perspective of life is moving forward, but I'm going to understand it looking back. Now, by faith, you do move forward by faith. That's what allows you to move forward is you begin to imagine. That's why we talk about at the end of every episode to discover, imagine, and go. Discover God's purpose for your life. Discover God's word for your life. Discover what God wants you to do. Discover the picture of what God wants you to have, to achieve, to surrender, whatever that is, but discover that. Purpose, discover God's purpose for your life. He designed you, he created you, and he designed you for a purpose. A hammer was designed to drive in nails. Now, if I'm a hammer, and then I decide, you know what, I don't really like nails. And I'd rather hit screws, or I'd rather hit lag bolts, or whatever, you know, whatever. I'm not going to be happy as a hammer because everything I do is going to look like failure. A hammer was not, the purpose of a hammer was not to drive in screws. But if I will line up my desires to what God has to say, if I'll surrender my life to what God has to say, and God says, you know, hey, the purpose I have you as a hammer, I've designed you as a hammer, is I want you to drive nails. And it may be kind of like, I don't know. But then you see that little victory. You drive in a finish nail. You drive in a small nail. And then before you know it, you're working your way up. You're driving 16-penny nails. And you're successful as a hammer driving in nails. Why? Because you discovered God's purpose for your life. And you didn't just discover it. You begin to imagine beyond where you were at. You imagine beyond your circumstances. You begin to imagine, I am driving that nail in. Man, but that nail's too big. How could I? No. I can do it. I can see myself doing it. I can see God using me in this way. And then ultimately going to be or becoming who God has called you to be. Go. Go. It's an action. Go be who God has called you to be. Well, I don't know how to do it. How will I learn? By doing it. I've never done that before. How will I know? By doing it. What if I fail? Then you've learned. But fail forward. Right? Live forward, go forward. And that's what it's all about. And even with Blink 182, what they're doing is, yeah, they've lived life in forward, but now they're looking back on it. And I think this song, One More Time, really encapsulates that, just that heart of looking back. And I think if you're an adult and you maybe you've lived life long enough, I think if you're in your 20s, you're looking back at your teens, or even maybe in your adolescent years. If you're in your 30s, you're looking at your 20s, your teens, and so on down the line, you're just looking back. And the older you get, the more you have to look back on. And you think, my story's over, and that's not the way it works. It's actually your story gets more full. You have more to say. I want to tell you, if you're an older person and you're listening to this podcast, your time is not up. God is not through with you. Your purpose is not expired. It may take some perspiration, but you don't have an expiration. I'm telling you, even if I don't care if you're in your golden years, God has a purpose for your life. There's a reason you're still here. So keep looking forward. Don't start living in the past. It's not about living in the past. It's about being able to take a glance back at the past with understanding. I love driving in my car. I love my car. I have a beautiful little car. And it's my first car. And not my first vehicle. It's my first car. I've always had trucks. I've always been in construction and I've always had trucks. So I've always had the desire to have a truck. So getting out of construction I said, you know what? I want a car. And my wife's like, a car? I've never even seen you in a car. I'm like, I know, I want a car. So I got myself a car. But what I love about my car is it has a big windshield and a very little rear view mirror. And so I'm so glad that I can see big and what's in front of me. I need that to keep moving forward. I need that so that I don't get in life's big accidents. But I also need to be aware of what's behind me. Maybe there's some things in my past I don't want to repeat. No, I've been forgiven. I've been redeemed, but I don't want to repeat it. So I'm gonna take a glance back and say, do I want to go through that again? I put myself through some hell. Do I want to go through that again? Absolutely not. I'm going to look back and get some understanding. No, I don't want to do that again. At the same time, I want to look back and see God's faithfulness. Hey, I'm fixing to go through this. I'm fixing to really have to step out in faith. What's going to happen when I step out in faith? Simple. Look back. What happened last time you stepped out in faith? God showed himself to be faithful. Yeah, but it was last minute. He's always on time. Last minute means he still had, it was his minute. We can't put God in a box, right? We just can't do it. But Blink-182, I want to read the lyrics of One More Time. And actually, all three members of the band sing. Tom DeLonge, Mark Hoppus, and even Travis Barker sings in the very last chorus, you know, just a small part. But I think this is worth stating. Travis Barker actually produced the entire album. So I thought that was an interesting thing. And I've heard good and bad about it. Honestly, had you not told me that or had I not read that, I wouldn't have known. I thought it was great. I think the production quality is great. I've got no complaints about it. So I think he did a great job. So here it goes. On the first verse, Tom DeLonge singing, it says, "Strangers, from strangers into brothers, from brothers into strangers once again. We saw the whole world, but I couldn't see the meaning. I couldn't even recognize my friends." And Mark Hoppus picks up verse 2. It says, "Older, but nothing's any different. Right now feels the same. I wonder why. I wish they told us it shouldn't take a sickness or airplanes falling out the sky." Of course, those are back to those references of the cancer and then the plane crash. And into the pre-chorus, Tom DeLonge sings, "Do I have to die to hear you miss me? Do I have to die to hear you say goodbye? I don't want to act like there's tomorrow. I don't want to wait to do this one more time. One more time. One more. One more time. One more time." That's the chorus. And then it goes into another verse with Tom DeLonge and Mark Hoppus both singing. It says, "I miss you. Took time, but I admit it. It still hurts even after all these years. And I know that next time ain't always going to happen. I got to say I love you while we're here." And then it goes into that pre-chorus again, which says, "Do I have to die to hear you miss me? Do I have to die to hear you say goodbye? I don't want to act like there's tomorrow. I don't want to wait to do this one more time." And then the chorus, "One more time, one more time, one more time." It repeats that and ends with the word or the phrase, "I miss you." And those are the lyrics. What an amazing ballad. And I just encourage you to listen to this. It's just such a great song. And if you listen to those lyrics and they're not muttered or anything, they're very clear. You can understand them. You can go along with them. It's just, I want you to think about someone in your life that for one reason or another, there needs to be some kind of reckoning. There needs to be some kind of, maybe there's some forgiveness that needs to be given, or maybe there's some grace that needs to be extended towards somebody. But wouldn't you hate to get to the end of your life? And if you're young, I would say this goes double for you, because you don't stay young forever. And grudges don't die on their own. And grudges only get worse with time. Look at the conflicts that we have all over the world by not just individuals, but even within people groups or among people groups. And it's all stemming back from sometimes generations, sometimes it's decades, sometimes it's centuries of resentment and just this unsettled unforgiveness. Instead of just coming to the table and saying, "Look, I'm wrong. Will you forgive me? That takes a lot of courage. It takes more courage to come to the table and say, hey, I know you wronged me, but I've wronged you. Or maybe even just leaving out the part where, hey, you wronged me, but just saying, hey, no matter what, I want you to know I've wronged you and I want to make it right. And at least starting that conversation. It takes a lot more guts to do that than to hurl insults and fights. Now, I'm not saying you can't battle over ideas in the sense of, you know, just, but in peace, right? With the goal of love and peace. But if you come to the table and you don't want peace, it's senseless. And maybe you've got a friend. Maybe it's a friend from school. Maybe it's someone from work. Maybe it's a cousin, a brother. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a sibling. Maybe it's one of your children. It's time to just say, hey, I miss you. Because you're not always going to have that time. Sorry, I'm getting a little choked up. You're not always going to have that time. I want to share just a personal story. In Christmas of around 2017, I had sold my business and I was just working in ministry kind of part-time and not really sure what I wanted to do. And the reason I had sold off the business is I wanted to go into ministry. I wanted to focus on doing ministry. And I just, my wife and I had agreed that that would just be the best thing to do. And I was working in ministry, you know, just trying to do that, make that happen. And then, but all the time my dad, he had been doing this for years. My dad was asking me, hey, you ought to come work for the company I work for. And the roofing company that I had was small. I mean, we didn't do really, really, you know, big jobs. We did commercial work, but more specialty stuff, not, you know, huge productions or anything like that. But we had a kind of a niche of what we did. And my dad said, hey, I'd love for you to come work for this company. It's a big company, but I think they could use your skills here. And he'd been telling me that for a few years. I think at that time he'd been there about 4 or 5, maybe 6 years. And I was like, Dad, no, it's just not this, just not that. And that's what I'd been telling him until I was visiting him for Christmas at the end of the year 2017. And my dad asked me again, he said, hey, they're hiring and I really think that you would be a good fit for a position they have available. And for the first time, I didn't say no. And there was something different about what I saw when he asked me. And my wife was there as well. And so I said, oh, you know, Dad, hey, well, I don't know. I got to get back with you. I'm not really sure what I want to do. And my wife and I get in the truck and we sit down and I said, what did you think about what my dad said? And right away she turns to me and says, about the job? And I was like, yeah. She says, I don't know why, but I think you should do it. And I said, I thought the same thing, but I didn't know why. And so I went, I applied, I got the job, and I started a couple of weeks later. And my dad and I, we had worked together in the past and years before I had my own business, and I was his helper. I was actually his kind of apprentice. And he would pick me up for work, or I'd meet him on the job site. I was still a teenager, the first day I was getting a company truck and he tells me, hey, instead of, you know, Jennifer, my wife, having to drop me off to get the truck, he said, why don't you come with me on Friday instead of going Monday? Come with me Friday and you can pick up your truck. And he said, I'll clear it, make sure it's cool. And he did. And he said, yeah, they'd love for you to come. And that way Fridays, everyone comes for a meeting and they would love to meet you. And so I said, yeah, absolutely. And so that sounds good. So he said, why don't you be at my house? I think he said 6:30. And he said, you know, then that way we can be there by 7. The meeting starts at 8. And so, okay. So I get there and I'm like 6:15 because my dad says if you're not 15 minutes early, then you're late. And he instilled that in me. And so I was like, okay, I got to be there at 6:15. He said 6:30. So that means really 6:15. And so I get there at 6:15 and I don't see my dad and I don't see him outside and it's kind of cool outside. And I see him. I finally see him. He's sitting in his truck. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's already waiting on me. And I was like, hey, Dad, I hope I'm not late. He said, no, you're good. And he looked at his clock, like his watch or the clock on the radio of the truck, like, okay, you're 15 minutes early, you're okay. And I said, did you just get in the truck? And he says, oh, no. He said, no, I went this morning. I drove. I gassed up my truck. I went and picked up tacos and bought some for you. I don't know what time my dad left the house that morning, but it was fun. But it took me back to when I was 16 years old. I mean, it took me back to that moment. Now, here I am. I'm in my late 30s. And I'm sitting in his truck and we're driving down his street and he's lived on that street for years and we're driving up that street and I'm there eating my taco while my dad's driving me to work and I was immediately a kid again. And there was something so special about that. I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was special. Like it had that special feeling. And so my dad and I, we worked together, not necessarily on the same jobs, but for the same company. And, you know, we are at the same meetings and getting to you know, visit. We would be on closed job sites or, you know, we'd meet for lunch. And for the first time in a long time, my dad and I began to kind of rebuild a relationship that had really just we'd let astray. And I won't get into the details of why, but there was tensions between us before. There was things that had happened that I didn't agree with. There was things that had happened that he didn't agree with. And it caused a separation in us. And I had a lot of assumptions about my dad. I'll be honest with you. I had a lot of assumptions about my dad. My parents are divorced. And there was a lot of things that I just assumed that my dad dropped the ball on. Well, you didn't do this, and this is, and you didn't do that, and this was my thinking. This was in my head, and of course, those things that are in your head just fester. And I was filtering them through the lens of a child, basically. And I hadn't never taken the time to understand and look at my dad as not just a dad, but as a man, just a fellow human being. And so my expectations of my dad were he was supposed to have it all together. He was supposed to have it all figured out. He was supposed to be at my beck and call. And I never looked at him for just a man that who himself would have had struggles and setbacks and disappointments. But I never looked at that. I looked at that from a kid's point of view only. And as I grew up, I never transferred that over to filtering it through as an adult, as another grown man. And so here I am, and we go, and it's a whole year of this. And I began to hear my dad tell me he was proud of me. He told me he was proud of me in a way that I'd never heard it before. There was something special about it. There was something special that I could tell my dad, hey, Dad, I'm grateful for you. I'm glad that you're my dad. I'm glad that it wasn't anyone else for me. And there just began to be healing. And like I said, there's things, you live this in forward. And I'm living this in forward. And I think, okay, this is important. And I didn't understand why in the moment. I just thought it was important just from a father and a son. And it is, don't get me wrong, it is that, but it was so much more. But this is where I get to look back in that rear view and say, wow, that wasn't just me and my dad having a conversation. the Holy Spirit was there. He was there. And he was guiding the conversation. What I didn't know is I started work in January of 2018, and my dad passed away unexpectedly in January of 2019. 1 year. I had one more time with my dad. One more year. My dad was, I felt, way too young, in his mid-60s. And I thought I had a lot more time with my dad. You know, the older you get, the younger 60 looks, the younger 70 looks, the younger 80 looks. The older you get, the more you realize we are here so short of a time. And you realize how precious life is. And you don't always get one more time to say, I love you. You don't always get one more time to say, I miss you. I'm glad we got to talk again. But I got that with my dad. Just one more year. And I'm so glad that when my dad passed away, that there was such a peace between us. Because I can honestly tell you that I don't know where I would be as a man. I don't know where I would be as a father. I don't know where I would be as a husband, as a son, as a pastor, as a friend. I don't know where I would be if I didn't have that one more time with my dad to say, I love you. And to hear him say, I love you. To hear him say, he's proud of me. And for him to get to hear, Dad, I'm thankful that you're my dad. He died in his sleep of a heart attack from one day to the next. I want to encourage you, and I know this is heavy. But I actually encourage you to listen to the song. And whoever comes to your mind, in fact, and I know I'm going to get hate for this. You'd be so surprised how much hate I get because of this podcast. I get hate from the secular world that says, you know, how stupid is it that you start talking about a band and then you start in with all that Jesus stuff. Of course, I'm putting it very nicely. I get hate from a bunch of the Christians that say, how can you talk about Jesus and these raunchy bands? Yeah, read your Bible. These are the people Jesus walked with and talked to and spoke with. But I want to say this. Listen to the song. It's a ballad. It's not going to blow your ears off. And when we think of one more time, just having one more time with someone, one more time to say I love you, one more time to say I miss you, one more time to say I'm thankful for you, who comes to your mind? And ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, will you bring someone to my mind? Or maybe you already know someone, but the Holy Spirit can maybe further that a little bit further. Discover that person. Imagine that person. And then go tell them you love them. Tell them you're grateful for them. If you haven't seen them in a while, you haven't heard from them in a while, reach out. Tell them I miss you. I had an opportunity this morning to spend some time with one of my cousins, and he's moved out of state to do ministry out there and start a church and really just following the call of God in his life and his family, and moved up to Colorado to start a ministry there. And it was so good to just connect with him in a way that honestly we've never connected. Here we are, two grown men just sitting across from a table, sharing our hearts. And we all need that. And if there's someone in your life that slipped through, maybe the enemy got involved and there's something there that needs to be taken care of, don't delay, because you don't know if you have another decade. You don't know if you have another year, another month, another week, another day, another second. You don't know. what One More Time is. The question remains with Blink 182 being that it's the name of their album. It's the title track. You know, is this one more time to put out a record, or is this one more time to get life right? I believe for me and you, this is our time to get life right, get our relationships right. Maybe it's actually God Himself that you need to talk to. Maybe you've been hurt by people and you've been taking it out on God, and it's time to say, hey, I need to get this right. It's time for me to get this right, because I don't know how much time you have, but I certainly don't know how much time I have. And I may only have one more time to get this right. So get that right one more time. Blink 182, amazing song. I love the song. If you're a Blink 182 fan, you'll love the album. Our time is up for now, but you can follow us on Instagram at Unpolished Podcast. That is I don't even know how to spell now. UNPAULISHEDPODCAST. Unpolished, my name, Paul. Unpolished Podcast. And you can go there. You can get updates to the studio, just some stuff we're doing, maybe some upcoming stuff we're doing in the studio, events or anything like that. And then also just give you a heads up on further episodes to come. But until next time, we challenge you to discover, imagine, and go. Discover God's purpose for your life. Imagine beyond your circumstances and go be who God has called you to be. Remember, you have to go.